Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord. I realize today as we go into this message that some folks who hear it may not like it. Simple as that. And they may disagree with me. But I've always felt in the 50 plus years of ministry that God has blessed me with that you preach the Word of God as God gives it to you. And it's not necessarily the word that people are going to like to hear or that they want to hear, which seems to be popular anymore. You preach what people want to hear. But I have to preach what God lays on my heart. And I say some people may disagree with me. Some people may not like it. But that's between you and God. Back in 1898, man, that's a long time ago, isn't it? 1898, 117 years ago. A guy by the name of H.G. Wells wrote a novel entitled The War of the Worlds. Anybody ever heard of that before? The War of the Worlds. They've made a movie out of it in the past. But back in October 30th of 1938, a guy by the name of Orson Welles, who was not all that well known at the time, performed it as a radio drama for the Mercury Theater on the Air. And it was aired over the Columbia Broadcasting Radio Network for their Halloween episode. Now, of course, recognized Columbia Broadcasting System as today's CBS. Orson Welles went on to become quite famous during his day. And primarily because of that broadcast. And the first two-thirds of this one-hour broadcast were presented as a series of simulated news bulletins, which suggested that a little town, and I can't remember the name of the town, something Mill, if I remember correctly, was in New Jersey, had been invaded by aliens from Mars. The spacecraft had landed, the aliens were disembarking from the ships, and they were essentially killing people right and left, destroying stuff. And there were no commercial interruptions, even though there had been the usual opening for the program. And some of those, in fact, many of those tuning in late to the broadcast, thought they were listening to an actual detailed account of an actual invasion by beings from the planet Mars. And as a result of this, some folks who tuned in late, like I say, they took this to heart. They thought that the Martians had actually landed and we were being invaded. It was Grover's Mill, New Jersey. And now the name comes back to me. But they believed that all of this was taking place. They didn't take into account that some of these things within this brief span of time covered many miles distance even. But they're listening and they were panicking. And I have since read some reports. Well, it wasn't as big a panic as they said it was then. But I do know it's just like today. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, it must be true. I read it on the internet. And there are some folks out there right now, if they see it on the internet, it has to be true because it was there. And then a few years ago, people, well, it has to be true because I saw it on television. And before that, if you heard it on radio, there was no way it couldn't be true. It had to be. I remember hearing about my great-grandmother who was listening to a soap opera. And you know, some of you ladies remember soap operas? Yeah? Well, my great-grandmother apparently was an avid listener to soap operas. And she's listening to one in this soap opera drama, this murderer's on the loose. And they're telling everybody to stay home and lock their doors, and she panics. She runs next door to my grandmother's. Lock your doors, lock your doors. They're saying on the radio, lock your doors. There's a murderer loose in the area. And this broadcast was taking place in New York, and they lived on the west side of Arkansas. So I don't know how many miles apart that is, but it's a long ways, you know. And I had the opportunity to listen to a copy of the original program while I was taking broadcasting in college. That was one of the nice things I got to hear when I was taking broadcasting, some of these old radio programs, you know, and the original copies of them. And we were listening to this, and one thing I noticed, that it was pointed out at the beginning and even at certain points during the broadcast that this was a radio drama. But yet, people heard it. They didn't pay attention to that "this is a radio drama" tag that was in there. They listened to it. They took it to heart. Some panicked. I understand some people even committed suicide, believing that the Martians were coming for them. And I've seen a lot in the news lately, especially on social media. And I'll have to tell you, when it comes to social media, do I believe it 100%? I don't even believe it 50%. In fact, a lot of it, I don't even believe 25%. And some of it, I don't believe at all, period. Because there's a lot of stuff going on around there that people just make up and put it out there to try to scare folks, try to panic folks. I belong to a particular group in the area where I live here in Maury County, and it's kind of a neighborhood type group. And somebody will post something serious on there, and people will start making comments. It gets so weird that it's just got to be outlandish then, you know, that throws off the whole thing and the whole truth of the matter. And there's truth that's out there, but there's a lot of things out there that are not truth, that are clouding the issue of what's really going on in our world today. There's stories that we see about the catastrophic events that are happening. And it's true, there are catastrophic events happening. There's a major flood in Texas, and I read one article that, or just skimmed it anyway, that said there's enough water in the flood in Texas to give everybody in the world a drink. You know, that's a lot of water. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But, you know, that's still a lot of water that's there. There's volcanoes that have erupted. There's earthquakes that are taking place. And some people getting a little panicky because of some of it. Well, the Bible said that some of this stuff was going to happen. We expect it to happen. We expect it to take place. There's other stories that are happening that something's going to happen and people have picked different dates this year as these catastrophic events are going to take place. Some picking September as a month in particular. And this is going to happen. People are trying to get you to take your money and swap it to gold because your money's going to be worthless come September, according to some. Some say other months. Your money's going to be worthless. I got news. If your money gets worthless, your gold's going to be worthless too. Because they're going to come and take it away from you. Do this, do that. We're in a panic mode. Stories of possible EMP attacks. What's an EMP attack? That stands for electromagnetic pulse attack. And according to some, if that happened to the power grid in the U.S., it would throw us back to living like it was in the 1800s. Some say that if it were to happen, the effects would last for years. Some say the effects would last for days. I don't know. I know it could be disastrous. Just think, especially the young people, what would they do when their cell service was all knocked out? They wouldn't know how to live. And can you imagine living like it was in the 1800s today? Most of us probably wouldn't survive. I think back and I told my wife one day, well, the only survivors would probably be the Amish. But, you know, a lot of us, we just couldn't handle it. And as I said, stories of impending financial collapse. Your money's going to be worthless. On such and such date, they're going to get rid of all cash and you have to do this or you have to do that. As a result, just like with the story that Orson Welles did in the radio drama, people get panicky. And I have to say here right now, and some of the bad part is you got preachers on TV and radio contributing to this by stock up, buy a year's worth of food and store it in your closet or wherever in case this happens. For X number of dollars, you can buy all of this food. Well, that's all well and great, but there are some people that are throwing food away right now that's been sitting in cans for so long it rusted back from Y2K. Now, I have to say, it's good to have a little extra food around sometimes because sometimes you can have events that take place that knock out your source for a little while, like when there's a snowstorm or something like that, or maybe some flooding as they had in Texas. Doesn't hurt to have a little extra on hand. But buy a year's supply. And it's only plus shipping and handling. Do this. People are getting in a panic mode. One of the things that you have to realize here is when you do this, and my wife and I have discussed it on numerous occasions, when you do this, Ken and Mary have stored a year's supply of food. And that large underground bunker that they've secretly built underneath their house. But I'm their neighbor and I know about it. I didn't store any food. They got food. I got a gun. I'm going to go get their food. It's exactly what will happen. And quite honestly, unless you're prepared to kill your neighbor, they'll come and take it away from you. Panic. Luke chapter 13 talks of some catastrophic events that will take place in the last days. We're not going to take time to read that entire chapter. We'll read just a couple of verses out of it, but it tells us that there will be wars, and all you hear about is fighting today. Earthquakes. I couldn't tell you how many earthquakes I've read about just this past week. Famines. We watched a program on television, a documentary about the Dust Bowl, which took place in the late 30s, early 40s here in the United States, creating some real problems for the people that lived in the Midwest. And we see right now things taking place where there's no rain in certain parts of the country, and in other parts of the country there's an abundance of rain, in fact too much rain. Some places they can't plant their crops because there's not enough water. It goes on, it says, earthquakes, famines, and troubles. And it states in verse 8 that these are the beginning of sorrows. And then in Mark chapter 13, verses 12 through 13, it says that during that time, now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth, he that hangs in there, he that sticks with it, unto the end, the same shall be saved. Look around. You have family turning against family today. Brother against brother. Father against son. Children against their parents. Oh, my parents got old. Now they become a burden. I'm just going to dump them on society and I'll go off and do my thing. And that's the attitude of some people. Somebody gets sick. Dump them. Let somebody else take care of them. I just heard of another situation like that last night. Woman got sick, had to have heart surgery. Her husband dumped her. Cleaned out the bank account and took off. I don't want to deal with this. Dump them. Hatred that is out there. All you've got to do is drive down an interstate, even in a mid-size metropolitan area, and see the hatred that is built up in people as you're driving down the interstate and how angry people become. If you are not doing it the way I want it done, you're not driving as fast as I want to go, you didn't pull over fast enough. And guess what? The way I've been reading, society is starting to reward them for this attitude, because now they tell you if you're obeying the law, you got to get out of their way so they can break the law, or you're going to be the one that gets the ticket. Find that out if you drive in Atlanta now. Let the lawbreakers rule. Just recently there was a riot in a major city. The mayor said, give them room to riot. Let them tear the place down. And now I understand that she wants you and I to pay for the damage. Well, they tore it down. Can't you pay for it? Brother against brother. But it tells us that those who endure will be saved. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to his spiritual son Timothy, writes in 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7, says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. What gift has God given us? Power, love, and a sound mind. You look out there, the world in general is going mad. And it's getting worse day by day. It's why? Because they have a gift that is not God-given. And that's the spirit of fear. The enemy has given that gift. And he wants to give it to the Christian as well. You read and hear, not as much as we probably should, because a lot of it's being kept back, I think, but of Christians around the world being slaughtered on a regular basis. And I know, even as a Christian, sometimes you can wonder, is that going to happen to me? Is it going to happen here? When I hear that, I pray and I say, God, if it happens here, just help me to have the strength and the courage to stand. Because that may be what it comes down to. It may come down to that. It may happen here in this country, maybe not on the scale in some of the other countries, but it can happen. And I wouldn't be surprised to hear of it any day happening. Spirit of fear. Again, Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 8, verse 18. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear puts us in bondage. It's like shackling us. It keeps us back from doing what God wants us to do and from being what God wants to be because of fear. And there's a big difference between fear and doing things wisely. Sometimes you hold back because of wisdom. But when you hold back because of fear, you're in bondage then. It's like being shackled, strapped down. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We can cry out, Father! Because God, by the adoption that was wrought through the shedding of blood on the cross of Calvary and our accepting what Jesus did, we have been adopted into His family and we can rightfully call Him Abba, Father, because He is our Father. The norm in society in the past has been that the father wanted to take care of his family. And they would provide for their family. They would do their best to meet the needs of their family. And I look back at some men that I have known that have already gone on to be with the Lord, that didn't have all the benefits that we have today. And they worked hard, sometimes 12 hours a day, struggling to put food on the table and to provide for their family. Today's father in the natural, a lot of them, and this is sad, but a lot of them, well, it gets tough. I can split. Let society take care of them. I'm glad that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us. He loves us so much. And He's providing for us. And even though we may not have all the money in the bank that we would like to have, and we may not be driving the kind of car we want to drive, and we may not be living in the kind of house we want to live in right now, He has prepared a place for us that will last for eternity, because the things that we have here, they wear out. Cars wear out, houses wear out, the appliances and all the nice amenities that you have in your home wear out, and the way they build them anymore, they wear out faster. I've got things in my house that I've had for 20 plus years, still working good. And stuff I bought 10 years ago has already been replaced because it wore out. But what God has prepared for us will not wear out. It says neither rust or moth will corrupt what He's laid up for us, because He wants to take care of us, His child. We are His child. We need not fear, because God is on our side. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 12 through 13 says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto them. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. And then 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. He's a loving God. He's a loving Father. We put trust in Him. You know, a lot of times, if you read in the complete Jewish Bible, the translation there, they translate the Hebrew. Instead of translating the word faith, they put trust. And we could in turn say where it says trust, we have faith. We have faith in God. I trust in God because I have faith in God. I have my faith in Him. There's a song that we used to sing in church. And I kind of miss sometimes some of the old songs because they had a real message in them. It says, I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all my worries are vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm, safe in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evil betides. Why should I then care through the tempest, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close by my side? Our Lord will return for His loved ones someday. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. As we're living by faith. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4 says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. The Hebrew word that is translated just can also be translated righteous. Righteous will live by faith. And the prophet that is writing to the Chaldeans have besieged Jerusalem. And he's got faith here that God is going to deliver, that God is going to meet their need. Later, the same statement, the just shall live by faith, is repeated three times in the New Testament. And I want to read to you what it says in the Adam Clark commentary. It says, but he that is just by faith shall live. He that believes what God hath said relative to the Chaldeans besieging Jerusalem shall make his escape from the place and consequently shall save his life. The words in the New Testament are accommodated to the salvation which believers in Christ shall possess. Indeed, the just, the true Christians, who believe in Jesus Christ's words relative to the destruction of Jerusalem, when they found the Romans coming against it, left the city and escaped to Pella and Coelesyria and did live. Their lives were saved, but while the unbelieving Jews, to a man, either perished or were made slaves. And then, of course, in the time of Martin Luther, he quoted these words as he nailed his theses on the door of the church there, and said, the just shall live by faith. Started what became known as the Protestant Reformation. Protestant, the word Protestant comes from the word protest. We're protesting some. But they set forth, the just shall live by faith. It does not say, the just shall live by fear. But the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by trust. And who is that trust? Who is that faith in? It is none other than Father God Himself that we have our trust, our reliance on. It's in Him that we have our faith. It's in Him that we have our trust. Yes, it's good to have wisdom when it comes to some things. When it comes to things that we know are going to be beyond our control and our ability, our trust is in God. That's where my trust is at. Somebody said, well, don't you want to, have all of this when all of this takes place? I says, no, I'd rather go meet Jesus. I'd rather go meet Jesus then. I don't want to have to put up with that mess. I want to go meet Jesus. Trust. There are those that are listening to the broadcast today via the internet. Where is your trust? Where is your faith? those seated here in this congregation, where is your trust? Where is your faith? And if your trust isn't in God, you need to put your trust in Him. You need to say, Jesus, I come to You. I've accepted You as my Savior. Help me now to trust, to have faith in what You are going to carry me through. The situations that are going to take place. He warned us 2,000 years ago of some of the events that were going to take place. We have lived now in the day when these events are coming to pass. And my faith is that He is going to fulfill His word and come for me. Whether it be through the rapture, being one who goes up to meet Him in the air, or through death, and I still get to meet Him first then. But my trust is in Him. I know that He's going to take care of me. And if you're listening to me today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day. Now is the time, because you have no guarantee of tomorrow. And if you're listening to me in one of these countries where some of these events are taking place, today is the day, because you don't know when they're going to come. You need to put your trust, your faith, your life into His hands right now. And Father, I ask that as Your word goes forth, wherever it may be heard, Father, that You would speak to hearts through the Holy Spirit. And Father, that lives would be touched and changed, that people who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior would make that commitment. Some that are on the borderline would make that commitment. Some that's faith has weakened a little bit, that they would make that strong commitment and they would put their complete trust and faith in there, that fear would be gone, Father. And in the name of Jesus, it would be replaced by faith. I thank You, Father, for what You're going to do for this congregation here, Father. I pray that You would touch our hearts. And Father, any fear that's in our hearts, Father, You'd replace it by an outburst of faith, Father, and trust in You. I give You praise and I give You glory now, for I've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.